Pronunciation number three, and it's been kindly sponsored by Henry Keller and family. He has the yard site next month, not this month, but it's a little early. And thank you for it. Thank everybody for helping push the golf and Norman to get in the role. And we look forward to hearing the feedback.
It's just Marina Rush, Lisa. When we finished last session's share, which was part two, Michael Israel asked me, how long should one be spending on one's Shemona Esra? The answer I gave then was, how long is a piece of string? But the Piskei Teshuvos does actually bring down some sources to say how long one should spend on the Shemona Esra, ranging between, I think, 6.5 and 11 minutes. The Mishnah of Reshet writes 11 minutes. I timed the shul this morning how long we were taking. Most people finished by about 4 minutes and 10 seconds. And the Rav finished after 5 minutes and 55 seconds when the Chazar Sashat started. So, pardon?
It usually takes about 11.
7 minutes? All right.
I think
it's true to say that many Rabbonim go faster when they're in their position as Rav because they're aware that the Tibboi is waiting for them. And otherwise, if they'd be on their own, they would take longer. There are stories of various Gedolim who, when they had to dub the Achidus, they were much longer. I saw in the Sefer about Rav Hanskel Levenstein, who was the Mashgiach Mir, that he spent 1 hour on his Shemona Esra. Problem is that it might be deemed to be called showing off if you spend a very long time with Shemona Esra, much more than everybody else. But the bottom line is that in order to pronounce your words properly, it doesn't take 2 minutes. So, just as a guideline. Now, we've been through the various examples of weird pronunciations, but even in English I find that many people just do not speak with a clear and perfect English diction. And we say that the correct English is the Queen's English, but if you listen to the Queen's national messages, she sometimes does drop her D's, like my husband and I. So what do we call the correct English? I once had the honour of teaching a bar mitzvah boy his drosha. And most of the time which I spent with him was not on the content of the drosha, but was on the way he delivered it, on his presentation. Because the young generation now, they say, well, we want to get out a bit. And they're coming here from Luton Airport, and the T's get dropped, or they say, I don't wanna, which means I don't want to, and or I'm gonna is very common. Well, it's already become colloquial English to say gonna rather than going to. But if we understand what you're saying in English, fine, you're not really desecrating anything. But if in tefillah you are not pronouncing your words properly, and particularly Kriyat Shema, then you're not Yotzer, and you want your tefillah to get to the most highest place, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it has to be done properly. And there's no point in saying, well, God knows what I really meant to say. It doesn't quite work that way, and there are instances where it's bedieved, where it's still going to be okay, but one wants to get it right. You're talking to the King of Kings, and when you speak to Her Majesty the Queen, you will probably not use your Cockney slang too much, and so when we speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need to get it right. You've got in front of you some handouts, and I'll start with the subject of the Shavuot, which is most of the first page. I simply didn't have space on the others for the first bit. The first bit I quote Rav Siegel, and Gershon correctly tells me it was not Rav Yehuda Leib Siegel, it was Rav Yehuda Zeiv Siegel. He was a Magister Rosh Yeshiva, and he makes the point how people should not say in the bracha, Melech Ho'olam. It's Melech Ho'olam. So that's the first example. But if we go into the subject of the Shavuot, which does worry a lot of people, because although here there are 5 conditions set out, there are some who believe that there are 8 conditions or 11 conditions of the Shavuot, and it can be a bit mind-boggling. But before you switch off and say, oh, I can't handle this, there is an easy way out of the whole subject of the Shavuot, and that is using an art scroll siddur, because although we don't pacify Art Scroll, and although in the past we have even pointed out mistakes from Art Scroll, the Art Scroll goes to great depth to put any shavah no, which is a, rather than a silent one, with a horizontal line on the top. It's what you might call a thingamajigs. I can't think of any other word in English to indicate what it is. Anyway, so looking at the principles of the shavah, so there are five principles listed here. One is the shavah varosh hamila, nohu. No means moving. That means it's pronounced rather than nothing at all. So at the end of the word it says it's noch. So we'll just look at some of the examples. Shema. We don't say the shma, as some people think we do. We say the shema. Once Rabbi Badi Yosef, the Sadek and Sadek Lebrocha, walked into yeshiva and he saw the boys davening with great kavonah and spending a long time over everything, but they were saying Shema Yisrael, and he remarked, well, you know, they can't even get the most important word right. It's not Shema, it's Shema. Because any Shavot at the beginning of a word starts with a. It's a Shavot not. It's moving. And on the other hand, you have to be careful if you want to stress this O, that you don't stress it too much. Because if you say Shema, it might sound like Shema, which means perhaps, which is kathira to say perhaps Hashem is one. So there is a question of balance here.
I was told by somebody that it's like the word bread. You know, when you say bread, you don't really pronounce any sound under the
B. Yeah. Right. If bread would be a Hebrew word, it would be bered. It wouldn't be bread.
Mm-hmm.
So, other examples, bani, right? You don't say bni. Lecho, kesov. All these start with a shavah no, because the shavah is at the beginning of the word. The examples used here in the handout of the end of the word, I'm not too keen on these examples because you don't actually see the shavah written, but you say, it says here commons s. But really, you want to, loch, at, loch, boch, or sometimes you get two letters with a shavah at the end, yast or yashk, and then you've got two shavahs at the end, and you don't pronounce either of them. So that's the one message, beginning of the word or end of the word. Second idea here, shnei shavuim retzufim be'emtza hamilah. So if you've got two shavuot in the middle of the word, then the first one is silent, and the second one is moving. For example, yikra'u, you don't say yikra'u, and you don't say yikru, you say yikra'u, or you say kasbechem, right? You don't say kasbechem, it's kasbechem. Other examples are shochbecho in the Shema. You don't say shochbecho. Shochbecho or the nishma'o. So you won't say the na, or I don't know how you do it. It would be the nishma'o. The nishma'o, you wouldn't say, that's it. Third example, Shavah Acharei Tznua Katano, Noch. Don't worry, this might sound a bit complicated, but it isn't. If you look at the bottom of your page, you see here the 10 different vowels divided into two columns. One column are called Tznuas Gedolos, which are longer or more emphasizing terms, and one is called Tznuas Katanos. At the bottom of page one, you've got a little box, which helpfully gives you A-E-I-O-U as well. And there's Komets Godol, Seire Chirik Godol, Cholom Shuruk, with Komets Godol, or as in Kol, Seire, May Ace, Chirik Godol, that's E with a Yud after it, as opposed to E, which hasn't got the Yud after it.
As in Pinchos, which everybody gets wrong, as
they Pinchos. Yeah, it's Pinchos, that's true. Cholom, the Au, or O, as we discussed, and the Shuruk, the U in the Vol. And in contrast to that, you've got the Pasach on the left side, which is the A, the Segel, the E, the Chirik Koson, which is E, and Komets Koson, which is also O, but less strong, and Kubutz, which is also U, but without the Vav. In that category is also the Cholom Koson, which, where you don't have the Vav, and you say O. So those, when these are present. And the Shavua is after those letters. Then after the Tanua Gadola, it's no, it's a whereas after the Tanua Katana, it's silent. So the example given here is Shimshon, which is really, which is no yud after the e, so it's Shimshon, and it's not Shimshon. And Shomrim, which is a cholavor, which is the long pronunciation, so it's Shomrim. To give you some other examples, Kotonti is a short cholav, so it's not Kotonati, it's Kotonti. Yocholti is perhaps another example of a short one. Iracho, your city, I and Yud, so you've got the E with a Yud, it's Iracho. Or Lomadei, Lamadvov Cholon, or Yelechu, Ye is a strong, long one. So there are some exceptions, I have to warn you, and we're not going to get bogged down in that today. There are quite a few exceptions with this one. And the grammarians can have a real field day spending hours on this subject. Principle number four, Shavot Tachas Ostagush of a Dogesh. When you have a Dogesh in a letter, that gets the Shavon on. So, Zochoret Yom HaShavot, Le Kadasho. It's not Kadasho, because there's a Dogesh in the Dalet. Numerous examples of that. Basically, you will never get a Dogesh in the Anachay Chesayin Reish, so they will not get that benefit, but sometimes they do. Yeah, there are, they do, but again, we won't dwell on that too much now. Now, also, we say there's also here Shalami and Sipru. Sipru is without the yod. So those are given in that example. Mitnei is another example where you don't pronounce it. Dabaru is where you do pronounce it because you've got the dogish. And Bitachot, your daughter. Right, you've got a dogish.
If you're saying Dabaru you do because you've got the dogish, why don't you say Sikaru because you've got a dogish?
I mean, when I started looking at these horizontal thingamajigs in the article, I did get some surprises. And you realise that maybe you've been pronouncing things for years, which you should be doing a shavo no. I'm just looking at Avorabo Avtonu Hashem Elokeinu Shebotachu V'cha. There's a horizontal line over the set. Why? Because it's after the Kovetz Godol. Vatalamadeim. So you've got two horizontal lines there. Vatalamadeim. Well, the mem has the dogish in it. Well, the toh also has the dogish in it. So you've got there both of them that way. Kedachoneinu usalamadeinu. So you've got the m because, yeah. Hamrachim. So a lot of people might say Hamrachim. It's very easy to slip up on this. Kiddushim Kod Shechot. Well, there you've got the two Shavuot one after another, so that's pretty simple. But some of them are quite startling. We should have had everyone having an art scroll in front of them. But both the art scroll Hebrew with English and the Hebrew only has these little horizontal lines on the top of the word. So that's the easy way out if you don't want to worry about all these principles.
How would you pronounce that properly?
How would I pronounce? Vihayisem.
Yes.
There's no Shavuot in there. It's Vihayisem. It's a Milra.
So you don't pronounce the Shavuot of the Hay?
I
was puzzled about that, wasn't
it? Yeah, I think you have to pronounce it, otherwise you're going to swallow up that hay, aren't you?
Yeah.
You can't say the yeast. It's the. You need to pronounce. You'll lose the hay if you don't.
You do have to pronounce.
Yeah, Shkoyach for that. Thank you. I knew someone would catch me up. Next principle, Shvob Os Rishon or Mishnei Osio Shvob Os Ritzupos No, where you've got two same letters in a word, like hinani then you will always have a Shavonot in the first letter. Another example is Hallelu or Nodador. Then you'll always have to have the Shavonot when you've got two letters, one after the other. And there are some other examples. So like when the Shavonot is on the last letter of a syllable, it's silent. For example, Yilmod, Mishteh, Simcha, Yisrael. So where you've got the last letter, that's not in these five principles, but it's another principle. And we've spoken about when the last letters of the words are silent, like Atz Boch Yelech.
I don't really understand this, but I know that Shalom...
You think I do?
That Shalom's gone into all this stuff in a very big way, and he told me that in a word like Yevarechlecha, where you've got two chos one after the other, he said that even though according to this rule it should be Yevarechlecha, and that's how I certainly pronounce it, and most people seem to, Shalom is convinced it's Yevarechlecha. I don't know why.
On what grounds, under these principles, should it be a Shavuot or not?
Because it's two letters
coming together.
The same letter, one after the other.
Yes.
Like in the knee.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So let's stick with the Yerechacho then, according
to the principle. Yeah, I know, but Shalom is convinced.
He's convinced it's Yerechacho.
And he's looked this one. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm not going to argue with him, but... It can sound like a bit of a minefield, so in that case, I'm going to move on. Now, Gershon very kindly gave me, on the top of page 2, some examples of our common problems of pronunciation, and so we'll just go through those, because I'm very grateful to Gershon for that. And he also drew to my attention the Shemush HaShel Torah, which is reproduced at the bottom part of this page. And here we're back now to general mistakes when it comes to pronunciation. End of Tachanun Ezreinu Lelekei Yishenu, not Yishaenu, and that's the mistake. It's Ozreinu Elokei Yishenu, and there's a difference in the Shema between the Ohav To and the Ohav To. You'll see there's a stress under the Aleph. The Ohav To, as we lay, if you lay the Shema, you're probably going to get it more right. The Ohav To is. Etc. A lot of people say the Ohafto, which is with a fe. It's not. I don't think it's in one of the lower examples of the Shivusha Shel Torah.
Big error, Mr. Gershon. You missed one.
Todu Alera. Yeah. Well, I think we may have mentioned this once, but yes, it's. Hodo. Those who do say Hodo should know that it's Hodo if they want to give thanks, and if they say Hodo, they're talking about the country of India, yes. As we say in the Megillah, may Hodo v'as Kush. Hodo is also the bird, a turkey. Yes. So, if you say Hodo in your Hallel, remember to say it's Hodo and not Hodo. Otherwise, the Indians will wonder what we are going on about. In Avodat Zion, he's given us an example of Shomerah, she guarded, and Shomerah, please guard. Accent of Milel or Milra. The Sidra of Bolok, just from a couple of weeks ago, the see it not say, and it shall lift itself, which is the Hitzpoel, and... Well, the sinose, or the sinase, right? Yeah. So the common mistake is the sinose, and it should be the sinase. How do the Israelis, or the Sfardim, say it?
The
sinase. The sinase. Yeah. All right. Matos, which was yesterday's Sedra, and I looked out for it as we were coming to it. Bonu and Bonu. They built... that's towards the end of Matos, I think. Bonu they built. It's not Bonu, which means... Interesting examples.
Bonenu.
Or our children. Yes, you see that word commonly on wedding invitations. Mm-hmm. So it would be children, not sons in that respect. So you've got here the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was done by Rav Feldman, well, on Rav Gumtzri. The Feldman Shulchan Aruch has a special edition with lots of illustrations, and he also wrote the Shimush HaShel Torah, lots of easy things, although some things in it are related to Hilchos Treifos, which get more complicated, but there's a small bit in the center, or page 167, which Gershon kindly brought to me from Yaakov Chaim, Mazel Tov to the Chosim, where he shows common mistakes. Uvechol Nafshachol, people say Uvechol Nafshachol, Uvechol Madechol, Ohu instead of Ohoyu, Hadavori Moele, Ashe Ronochi. Now, he quotes Matsavacho instead of Matsavacho. Note that Matsavacho should have a dogish in it, and it's not Matsavacho, it's Matsavacho. So, it's where people mingle the ends and the beginnings of words. Hayom al-Lavovecho, people say Hayom ma-Lavovecho. Note the first example I gave at the top of the page one, relating to the brachos. People say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu, and they say Melech HaOlam, which might sound very normal, but it's not Melech HaOlam. Oh, there's another interesting example, is that if you're a Baal Kara, you'll be aware of this, when you learn Parshas Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim. Now most people say Malochim. Malochim are sailors. It doesn't seem to me as though the Yaakov Avinu was sending sailors, he was sending angels or messengers.
Another thing,
yeah, well, once you get the common expressions, then they become colloquial with slang. My wife from Switzerland, they say they're chalmaoid. Or chalmaoid, they say chalmaoid. I mean, the common example is that when they sit down to shalashidus on Shabbos. Well, it's shalosh sudos. Now I know we often say suda shalishit, which is the third meal, and you might say, why do we say shalosh sudos or shalishidus? Because once you have the third meal, then that's counted as though you've had all three meals, whereas when you haven't had the third meal, then you haven't had your three meals. So that is probably colloquially why, in fact, Shulchan Aruch heads his siman in the Shulchan Aruch as din shalosh sudos, and he talks just about the third meal, because that makes the three meals. But yes, it's not shalish either, but going to a shtiebel and you won't hear anything different. But it doesn't matter if colloquially in Yiddish you're going to do things like that, but when you're davening, you want to get it right. And we're not just talking about the Shema and the Shemen Esra. Pesukei de Zimra is a very important part of our davening, which enhances emunah and which shows praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, etc. Uvelechtecho vaderech, uveshochvecho uvekomecho, laos al, not laos al, bein einecho, not bein neinecho, chsaftom al, and not chsaftom mal, uvishorecho, not uvishorecho. It's not shorecho, it's shorecho. And he in fact quotes in the small print, he quotes from the Sefer Yesod v'shorish ha'avodah, in the short second paragraph above his examples. So I found the Yesod v'shor Shavoda, it's still in print actually, but you can get it on hebrewbooks.org, and if you look in Perek Sheni, he gives numerous, hundreds of examples which people get wrong, particularly in the Shema and the Shemona Esra. So there you have it, examples which show where people might slip up wrong, and it's inevitable that if you're going to spend a long time on your Shemona Esra, then the chances are you'll get it right. And if you spend a very short time on it, chances are you're going to get it wrong. So that brings us now to our third page of some common mistakes here and there. There are others.
Can I just ask?
Yeah.
In the response to the Kaddish, is it Borachu or Borachu?
Berichu.
Berichu.
Isn't it Berichu? Yes.
Yeah, but I often hear it mispronounced.
Yeah. Well, you'll often hear. You'll often hear Hasidim say Yiskara li Yiskara Shemay Rabo, when it's really it's Yiskadal li Yiskadash Shemay Rabo. and there are other examples like that.
There's another place in Zimbabwe that says Yiscardel,
Yiscardel. Yeah, Yiscardel, the Yiscardesh. Mishnah Berurah talks about saying Yiscardel, Yiscardesh.
That's Hebrew rather than
it's a question of are you saying the Hebrew or the Aramaic and so on, but Robert Olof say Yiscardel, but Mishnah Berurah does talk about Yiscardel, the Yiscardesh. That's true. It seems to be more correct to say Yiscardel, the Yiscardesh, but I think because it's become so common to say Yiscardel, Yiscardesh, it might look a bit like showing off when you say it differently to everybody else.
That's like the people who say Heshme Rabo Mavoiroch.
Yeah.
And normally those people who converted from Sephardi to Ashkenazi, and you point out to them that it's not a Sephardi pronunciation, but it's Aramaic.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. Loads and loads of examples. Well, I've written out one or two here. Forgive my scrawl. I just should have done it with a computer, but. Anyway, Mode Ami, first thing in the morning. This example is brought by the Mishnah Berurah, Simon Aleph, Sifkon Ches. Mode Ami Lefonecho Melech Chai Vekayom Shehech Hezar Tobi Deshmosi Bechemlo, who has returned to me, my soul, in mercy. Rabo Emunosecho, great is your faithfulness. And what you often hear or say is Bechemlo Rabo. It's not Bechemlo Rabo. In fact, the art scroll, quite conveniently, goes to great length to do a very long hyphen there after Bechemlo. So, not that you're likely on crawling out of bed to get out of your art scroll, Siddur, and say it, but I say that, but we spoke about the Magister Rosh Yeshiva. Apparently, he wouldn't even say a broch of Shehakol Nieh B'dvaro without a Siddur in front of him. And my own brother-in-law, who was sadly Nifta just a couple of months ago, Gershon Hyams, he always made sure he was davening from a siddur. He never would ever daven without the siddur in front of him. Because it's so easy to slip up and miss out words and swallow words and so on. So, Rabo Emunosecho, great is your faithfulness. The great goes on the Emunosecho and not on the Chemlo. The next example I've got is from Adon Olam. And often it's because of the songs that we say things wrongly. We say, B'terem kol Yetzir Nivra. Well, if you say that, then you're saying that before everything else, Yetzir was created. Chas v'sholom. So it's B'terem kol Yetzir, pause, Nivra. And you've got a little comma, I think, in here. Let's see in the art scroll. There's a Adon Olam at the beginning. There's no comma in the art scroll. Yeah, it shows it all as one. Yeah. This example was spoken about by Rav Aryeh Leibovitz, who gave a few more of these. Now, in the morning...
Shabbos morning.
Yes. Elokai, my God, Neshama Shenosatabi, this soul which you have given to me. Now, if you say Elokai Neshama, you're really changing the meaning, aren't you? The soul which I have is my God. Chas v'sholom. Can't say that. So Elokai, there is a comma in there after the Elokai. I did check. Now this is a very important one we're coming to. In Vayosha Hashem, before the Oz Yoshir in the Shira, before the Shira, we say Vayiru'u Om Es Hashem Vayaminu B'Hashem of Moshe Avdo, which is from Parshas Shalach. It's the lead up to the Shira, the climax of the Yetzias Mitzrayim after Kriyas Yamsuf, where praise is given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now Vayira'u is, and they feared Hashem. They saw the greatness of Hashem, and they feared him. From the word Yore. So this is something we perhaps should have discussed when we were discussing before the Shavono. It's Vayira'u. There are two Yuds, or Yudim, in before the Reish. And so there's a Dogish of the Yud, and the Reish has to have that Shavono. If you say Vayiru, then you've blown it, because you're saying, and they saw God. Because that's a different root. To see is Reish Ayin Hei, the root. Reish Aleph Hei, sorry. Reish Aleph Hei. Thank you, I don't know what I'd be without you. Reish Aleph Hei, Ro'o, Vayiru, and they saw. But you're not going to say, Chas v'Sholom, they saw Hashem. How could they see Hashem? and they were fearing Hashem. So you have to say Vayira'u Ha'omes Hashem. Vale Kara for Parshas for Shalach. Please note, otherwise you've really changed the meaning.
At the end of the Beit Lashon, Yeruah Hashem, what's the Yeruah?
Right, well there it's talking about fearing, isn't it? Shall we see what the article's got? It doesn't have a Shavuot at all under the Reish. It just says
Yud.
On the Yud, it says Yeru here.
Yeah, Yeru, that's right.
Yeah, Yeru. It's not Yeru, it's Hashem.
Yeah.
Everyone says Yeru. Yeah, well, it's sung like that. Yeru, it's Hashem. It's Yeru, it's Hashem Kedoshov. And it's the beginning of the word, so it has to have a Shavuot not. So it's Yeru, it's Hashem Kedoshov. Very good. Nice feedback today. Now, here is a bit of a howler coming up in the Shlosh Esrei Midrash, Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'Chanun. So on Yom Tov we like singing this when the Aron HaKodesh is open, and we say Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'Chanun, and then everyone goes Erech. Pause. Now it's wrong to pause there, because if you say Erech, pause, then you're saying Hashem is quite tall, and apai means he's very angry. Now Erech apai means slow in anger. Hashem's virtue is that it's not easy for him to get angry. He's very slow in anger to our benefit. He's got midas rachamim, and that's what it's in kel rachum v'chanun. He's got the rachamim for us. So it's very important to think Erech apayim, and not Erech pause apayim. Okay, another one which is commonly made a mistake of, it's not as heretical as the others we've discussed, is in the Birchas Kohanim. Well, it may be slightly heretical. Borcheinu Bavrocha Hamashuleshes Vatara Haksuva Lidei Mashe Avdecho. So you say it's a machlokes. Well, if you say Hamshaleshes Batorah, then you're saying it's written three times in the Torah. And it's written once in the Torah, but it's the bracha is threefold. So the bracha is threefold. Habrocha Hamshaleshes. The bracha is a threefold bracha because you've got three parts to it in the Birchas Kohanim, and it's Batorah Haksuva Lidei Moshe Avdecho. It's in the Torah written, etc. So you should, this again was said by Rabbi Leibowitz, you're telling me it's a machlokes?
There was a massive question in the Jewish Tribune.
And what were the opinions against us?
It's
a machlokes. Okay, well we're not going to pass goodbye Art Scroll, are we? But if we just have a look at the Art Scroll, it's got the comma after Hamashuleshes, and then Batarak Suval De Mashe Avdecho.
Yeah, I think I went to one of the Art Scrolls, sorry.
Alright, well I can't Google that, the Machlokas and the Jewish Tribune.
So what would it mean
there is one website which discusses these things a lot, and I don't know if this question is on it. There's a website called Miyodea, and a lot of learned people seem to put their sources into it, and they quote where they're getting it from, so it's very useful. The sort of place I would look to establish the answer to that.
What you haven't got is this one here, where it's Berura of in Ima, and Kedusha Kol Okeacha, but there is an alternative version where it says in Ima Kedusha.
Yes.
Yeah, which is in the Yes Sidurim. But that the word is vowel differently.
Right. I'm not suggesting that all of these are going to be universal in the opinion as to how to get it right, but certainly it's good to put one's mind to it if we haven't got something clear cut. The next one is really...
I want to point out the one about Levas. You know, I had a page open before when we take the paper Torah out.
Yes.
You say Levad Batochnu. Do you say...
Levad Batochnu.
Do you say Levad with the first part when you sing it, or with the second?
Let's just translate it. In you, only you, we are having our bitokon. We have our trust. So let's think logically. It would be lechol levad. You only.
Lechol levad bitokon and then a comma.
Right.
Yeah.
All in one. He lechol levad bitokon.
Yeah, but the way
that would change the meaning, though, if you do pause after the levad, doesn't it? Levad levad
b'tochnu. Because the rabbi seems to insist you say levad with the first bit. The way we sing.
The rav says.
Ki lechol levad.
Ki lechol levad.
B'tochnu. We've always sung it.
Ki lechol levad b'tochnu. Oh yeah, you're right. Because there you're really putting the levad on b'tochnu, whereas levad goes on the b'chol for sure. Yes. Agreed. So the way we sing it is definitely wrong. Yeah. I'm learning a lot today.
Can I see what the problem here?
Yes.
Where for you rotten, it's there.
Alright, Gershon has just shown me a pasuk in Shoftim Perek Yud Zayin. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'cholom Yishmu V'yirotu.
That word V'yirotu doesn't mean to fear. The Targum translates it as V'dachalun. The Lashon of fear. Yet it's spelled with one Yud.
It's spelled with one Yud. It's a Yud Chosra, yeah. Okay, but we don't have any questions there about the Shavuot,
no. Yeah.
The first letter is...
It is unusual
that, yeah. Normally, grammatically, there would be
it's
two yuds.
It's pasuk on the right. It's on the sachdok, the yud. So it's a balsam form instead of
yud. I think some grammarians would even argue for three yuds on the dot one. Sometimes you get a dogish which replaces a missing letter. But let's not go down that route now. I'm scared. All right. In the Birchas Kriyas Shema, we do pause at certain places, and I show where those are: Makdishim Amalichim, Onim Verim Beirah, Meshabachim Verim, and you might be waiting for the Chazan. The problem is that you are actually saying in your text that this is what's about to happen, right? So they say Onim Verim Beirah, and then what do they say? Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. But really, then you should be making less pause after those phrases. Because that is what's about to be said. If you make a long pause after Makdishim Amalichim, Ramin B'Yirah, Meshabchim V'Rim, V'Rim, they are saying, and then you're quiet for a while, it's losing its context. So you should really have as little gap as possible between these, even though in the Siddur it shows spacing, even though we wait for the Chazan often to get to that place, to correctly do it, that's what it's about to say. You're saying, then you will say those things straight away.
But we're trying all to say Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh together.
We'd like to say it together.
Yeah. So really the Chazan should speed up. Yeah.
Yeah, and try even to be a bit ahead on those.
Yeah.
That there isn't such a big gap. Yeah. All right, lessons for the Chazan. another example I brought here, Shochein Ad, Morom Kodesh Shemo. If you say Ad Morom, it will be up tomorrow his name becomes holy, which means up for any further his name is not holy anymore, Chas v'Shalom. So it's Shochein Ad, pause, Morom v'Kodosh Shemo, right? Again, I haven't checked the art scroll covers, but if I got here Shacharis HaShabbos, it's not far away from me, I've got it here. No covers at all, it's just says Shochein Ad in bold print, and then it shows a space. But it's good to have that pause. In Volatio, we might have mentioned this already, but this is another one where the song has distorted it. Because we sing Baruch Hu Elokeinu, and everybody goes Shebaronu Lichvado. It's not Shebaronu, it's heretical to say Shebaronu, because you're saying that we created him in his honor. Well, we did not create HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas v'Shalom. It's Shebaronu. So there, you'll never be able to say it properly if you're too fast. Shebara Onu, he who has created us in his honor. Hashem has created us, we have not created him. Let's get that message through. So in Aleinu, next example, we say, Hu Elokeinu Einod. He is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no other. Emes Malkeinu Efes Eloso. Now, if you don't get the stops right, if you say Einod Emes Malkeinu, I write here, I won't even translate the meaning. It's heretical to the extreme. So, alright, maybe orally I'll say what it means and say Chas v'Shalom with it. Einod Emes Malkeinu means the truth of our king is no more. Now, Chas v'Shalom. You can't say that because otherwise you've ruined the whole point of coming to Shul in the first place. There are other examples which I haven't written out here. One I've heard in Yigdal, we often sing Lo Sein L'Rosh Hara Kurish or so. Now the Ra goes on. It should be Lo Sein L'Rosh Hara. He gives L'Rosh Hara Rakurish or so. The same wickedness that he caused, he gets back. Rakurish or so. So if you say, you should really think Lo Sein L'Rosh Hara Rakurish or so. If you say Lo Sein L'Rosh Hara, he's giving the Rosh Hara evil. Well, Hashem doesn't give evil to the wicked person. He gives schava onesh, and that is reflected by saying no saying the Rosh Hara, rakarish also. Another one which sounds always funny on Hanukkah when we're singing the Moaz Tzur, people sing Karozko, Mas Barosh Bikesh. Now the Bikesh goes on the Agogi, on Homon. So it's Karozko, Mas Barosh Bikesh Agogi Ben Avados. What does it go with the rhyming? Yes. Le Mokesh or Le Fachon Le Mokesh, some say.
Yeah.
The Gavos Sodish Bosso. Right. A common example of a mistake, well, I have said it once before, but I'll say it again, and that is the word May Ace. Make sure you're not saying Mace. May Ace, especially it's May Ace Hashem Hayosar those in the Hallel. Chas v'Shalom, if you say Mace, Mace means death. We don't want to get that wrong. So, that's in a nutshell. There are hundreds of more examples. I don't want to terrorize you and don't lose hope. But the whole idea of getting all this right is to get our tefillah right. And to get the importance of tefillah, we haven't really discussed this much in the past. The importance of tefillah, that when you daven, it goes to the Most High. It penetrates the firmament, it goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Kisei HaKavod itself. And we learn the importance of tefillah when we look at the story of Yaakov and Esav. Esav just assumed that it was bad luck, that he came back too late to get his bracha, and Yaakov got the bracha instead. What was Yaakov's view? He said in Parshas Vayechi, he said, ואני נוסעתי לך שכם אחד על אחיך אשר הוקחתי מיד למרי בחרבי ובקשתי. And Chazal explained, and it's brought down by Rashi, בחרבי ובקשתי is talking about his davening. What is שכם? It's one of the it's talking about the brachos which he got, and because he davened for it. Yaakov Avinu davened hard that he should get the Bechorah, that he should be Zocher to have the Avodah on the Beit HaMikdash. So he davened for it. And it's through his davening, and he's saying Bechari Vakashti, although literally sound, it means my prayer. Pardon?
Sword.
Chari is sword, yeah. Kashti is my bow, yeah. Correct. And Targum Unkelos brings down that it means prayer, and Kashti, my bow, is an allusion to supplication. He was informing his son that he had acquired the Bechara through the power of his tefillahs, that by the normal natural nature of events he should have not got the Bechara. Why did Yaakov make this point to Yosef at that time? He wanted to make clear that he wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, Maror Samach Pela, and that he would get opposition from it. He would get opposition from it from Paro and the whole of Mitzrayim, that he should be buried in Egypt. He said, use your power of tefillah to get your way. And if you use your power of tefillah, nothing will stand in your way. And the Midrash Tanchuma says in the case, there is nothing greater or more powerful than tefillah. Moshe Rabbeinu, it was decreed, he wouldn't even see Eretz Yisrael, but he davened and he was zocher to see Eretz Yisrael. Chizkiyo davened, and a decree against him was rescinded. And Yaakov davened for his sons when he sent them down to Egypt. So Chizkiyo had many merits for Torah study. He was zocher because every child up to the age of 12 or 13 knew all the din of Tum and Tahara. It was unbelievable what happened in his time. Yet nevertheless, when he fell ill, he had to daven. And by his davening, we say in the Gemara Brachos, his life was spared. So when Yaakov Avinu was sending his sons down for the second time, he warned them not to return without the brother Binyamin. He davened for them. Rashi says, Now you lack nothing except prayer. Therefore I daven for you. When one is in need of divine assistance, one can't rely what one says, oh, I've got my merits. It's not enough. Even if you've been learning Torah, one has to daven. Tefillah is a must. These ideas are written by Rav Siegel, the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva. It's the davening which penetrates most of all. And now, while we're in the 9 days, and we want to have our geula, nothing can be better than our davening with supplication. And next month, we're already thinking of Yomim Noroim. It is a tefillah for Klai Yisrael which should help with all our strengths and with all our abilities, whether it's in fighting our enemies in Eretz Yisrael, or whether it's getting the right education in the schools for our children, and to fight against the bureaucrats of this country. The most important thing of all is tefillah, and with tefillah we shall succeed. Therefore, let's get our pronunciation right. Thanks very much.